Hi, so I just want to welcome Maddie McKenzie to the finance meeting today. She's the executive director at the Skagit Community Foundation. And today she's going to be giving us a presentation on what her organization is working on as far as housing and how it can apply to what we're trying to work on with the committee. So I'll let Maddie take it from here.
All right. Hi, thank you, Brendan. Thank you for the invitation and this opportunity. I'm going to share my screen. Can everyone see the presentation? Okay, great. All right. So I'm Maddie and the executive director of Skagit Community Foundation. I was hired as director in March of 2021. So I'm coming up on my 1 year anniversary. Tonight, here to tell you a little bit about our organization, focusing on the philanthropic work that we are involved with in regards to housing. But first of all, the Skagit Community Foundation is one of more than 800 community foundations in the United States. And we're dedicated to improving the lives of people in a specific geographic area. We bring together the generosity of individuals, families, businesses to support our local nonprofit sector mainly. And we exist to support the goals and visions of donors by helping connect them to the needs and opportunities in our community. And I do want to provide a disclaimer that myself and the Skagit Community Foundation in general, we are not specialists or experts in housing specifically. We're more generalists in addressing and understanding community needs. This is a brief overview of our history. Our local community foundation was created from the idea and purpose to build McIntyre Hall. Our very first endowments were established to create and maintain a new performing arts center. But today we manage 63 different funds that benefit a wide variety of causes in our community, including youth education, basic human needs. We do scholarships, agency funds for specific nonprofits, and donor advised funds, which are really fun and flexible for the donor to be involved in customized grant making each year. About 90% of our funds are invested with the intent to grow over time while making meaningful grants each year. We provide the philanthropic structure and vehicle to maximize tax benefits to donors. We provide ways for donors to connect with local organizations or community needs that they may not have known about. And we provide options for donors so that they can be as hands-off or as involved as they want, whether it's an IRA charitable rollover or recently, we received a gift of real estate. We can help enhance and make the most of their generosity. So the next couple slides, they're about our 2021 grant making data. And this is all excluding scholarships. This is only grants made to nonprofits. And 2021 is the year I'm most familiar with, and it's also our largest year for both grant making and asset growth. We conducted two separate grant cycles that were open calls for applications to any nonprofit that serves Skagit County. In addition, there were some grants made outside of those two cycles for flood relief and recovery. There were donor advisor recommendations. The first grant cycle was our traditional annual grant cycle that finished up in May. And our second grant cycle was very purpose specific. And that one occurred in October. As you can see, there were more grants made than organizations supported. And that's because some organizations received multiple grants. For example, the Skagit YMCA, they received a grant for both their Oasis teen shelter, and also for childcare vouchers. So along with you, many other community leaders here in Skagit County have identified our housing crisis as one of our greatest needs and a priority for our work. The unaffordability puts a strain on our limited resources and our workforce, stifling growth and the ability of our community to thrive. This apartment market data is from the fall of 2021 within a University of Washington market study. And this has been a problem for a while, and I know you're already aware of that. I became a member of the new Skagit Housing Consortium this past summer. The purpose of my participation there is to learn from other leaders and stakeholders from different sectors about the current needs and how they're being addressed. Skagit Community Foundation is using the information from the consortium to inform our grant making and to better understand what are the current, the key projects and the goals for housing in our community. It's been a very educational experience so far. And really the consortium itself is only just developing. Just yesterday, at our monthly meeting, I was in a subcommittee where we discussed potentially building a best practices template for successful affordable housing projects. That would make it really easy to share between organizations what works, what didn't, and what are some methods of overcoming obstacles like financing challenges. And creating affordable housing is completely like beyond my scope of work, but it's really good information to learn and gather. Taking a look again at last year's grant making, I've divided our grant awards into different categories. Housing accounts for 1/5 or 20% of our entire grant making last year. And these are direct housing specific grant awards to organizations working on the housing crisis, such as emergency and transitional housing. The basic and critical needs, our largest category, includes things like food, childcare, health and medical needs, utilities, hygiene supplies, things like that. But if you were to combine housing, basic and critical needs, along with flood relief and recovery, which were also addressing some of our most urgent needs at that time, you get 61%. That's nearly 2/3 of our annual philanthropic activity last year. And this isn't just the Community Foundation or our board of directors making these decisions. This is an interplay between all of the grant applications that we received from the nonprofit sector and the priorities and causes that donors care about. It is substantial, and I think that it's a reflection and you know, it helps us understand what the greatest needs of our community are at this point in time. So diving further into the specifics of the grant making last year is the breakout of the 20% direct housing grants from the last slide. The 12 recipient organizations are listed on the right, and some of these nonprofits received multiple grants from us. Our largest funding category is basic and critical needs, and that's at a little over 37%. 24 organizations received almost 400,000 last year, and there just isn't enough space to list them all. But I consider those housing adjacent grants because they support people who are either currently experiencing homelessness or are vulnerable to experiencing homelessness. In Skagit County, it's common for people to be spending too much of their income on housing. And so alleviating the essential costs of living, such as food, utilities, diapers, childcare, things like that. It increases their ability to continue to pay their rent and maintain stable housing. So an article just came out in the Chronicle of Philanthropy about Melinda French Gates and how her future giving and philanthropic philosophy will be guided by feedback from nonprofits, not simply based on metrics. And this is an important change and a growing trend in the philanthropic sector. Our hope is that the days are gone where donors are basing their giving decisions on an organization's overhead expenses and even thinking that overhead is bad. Nonprofits traditionally have lower wages and much higher turnover rate than many private sector businesses. Losing institutional knowledge hinders an organization's ability to achieve its mission efficiently. So at Skagit Community Foundation, we believe that the nonprofits that we select to support are experts in what they do. We make grants for general operations, as well as grants that are program or project specific. The flexible funding that comes from donors is important to organizations to be able to create their budgets efficiently and to maximize impact. And so they don't have to maneuver around requirements or red tape. We require follow-up reporting. An interim report is due 6 months after a grant, and a final report is due 1 year after a grant is made. And this is to keep track on the ongoing effectiveness and the results of the organizations we support. This creates a consistent communication flow with the nonprofits that receive funding. And often we're hearing about their progress multiple times a year. So the Anacortes Family Center received three separate grants and a substantial total amount from Skagit Community Foundation last year. Their continuum of care model is one of the most effective in the state. This data is a combination of statistics from 2020 and 2021. The 74% self-sufficiency rate is from 2021, but it's down a bit from in 2020, it was just right about 81%. And this drop occurred because of an overall capacity increase in the total number of people they were able to serve. Clients are required to get a job within 2 weeks, which kicks off a savings plan, resume building, and life skills, and eventually the ability to acquire market rate housing. Their major funding partners are local and corporate foundations, as well as individual donors. Because of the requirements of their programs, such as sobriety and mandatory participation in programs, they do not receive many, if at all, larger government grants for homelessness because of red tape prohibiting strict requirements like they have. The Anacortes Family Center was one of two affordable housing projects. The other beneficiary was the Housing Authority project to receive funding from the 1590 sales tax. Once it passed, with that projected revenue, they were able to leverage and secure financing for their newest affordable housing facility. And I'm not super familiar with the project or that whole process. I received this information from them through the Housing Consortium. And at the time the tax was originally passed, I was a registered voter in Anacortes, and so I learned about it then. Our next case study is the Family Promise of Skagit Valley. Over the past 2 years, Family Promise has doubled in capacity in all the services that they provide, with an increasing demand for emergency and transitional housing. Their clients receive case managers immediately and volunteer family mentors to help them get out of crisis mode and to meet their basic needs. They also develop an individualized case plan and a pathway to permanent housing. Their model incorporates a holistic and community-based approach with peer-to-peer and family mentoring services, all while keeping families together, whereas some shelters are divided by gender. Family Promise received the largest amount of the Community Foundation's Direct Housing Grant Awards last year. And they are similarly supported like AFC, in that their major funding partners are for the most part all local. Local city and county grants, family foundations, local corporations and tribes are listed as their major operations funding partners. Both AFC and Family Promise are highly effective at building self-sufficiency and reducing the recidivism of homelessness in our community. The way that these two organizations are supported speaks to their expertise in homelessness and the confidence in them from our local community. I did want to touch briefly on emergency voucher programs, which are provided by a huge range and variety of community foundation partner organizations. There are probably tons more organizations that provide vouchers that we're not aware of. The benefit of voucher programs, although the need for them is increasing and they are also not a sustainable solution, is that they provide dignity to the recipients in need. Going to a hotel for a night or two or even up to 2 weeks is a less kind of traumatic option to an individual or a family that might be in a crisis or a very temporary transition period, rather than going to an emergency shelter, especially if they already have a plan or an end goal prepared. So endowments are permanently invested assets that are created by donors who care about a particular cause or an organization in the community. Taking a look at the assets and resources that we currently manage that benefit housing, we will have a total of $1.25 million in discretionary grant funds over the next 5 years for basic human needs, which includes housing. We have a Friendship House, a specific endowment, as well as two different endowments that benefit YouthNet. And they're mainly foster care, but they also generally support families in need. The Swan Endowment is a designated endowment for the nonprofit serving women across nations. And although the ultimate purpose is undetermined at this time, lately that organization has been focused on our local homelessness situation. Both Skagit and Whatcom Community Foundations manage many donor advised funds in addition to endowments. These funds are still invested, but are a lot more unpredictable and not necessarily permanent, so I didn't list them. Up in Whatcom County, they have different organizational endowments that address housing, and in addition, they have the Threshold Fund. The Threshold Fund supports the upfront costs of affordable housing projects, to try and alleviate the barriers to entry for developers. The fund is unique and different from many of our traditional type funds because it's a revolving loan fund. So it functions like an investor for a project, and eventually the money comes back and it can be reused for the next project. It's really great and interesting opportunity. So although we're a small community foundation, we have strengths that help support housing in our community. The main one being our ability to connect donors with effective programs and opportunities. Looking ahead, some of our areas of growth include leadership of community learning, networking and stewardship events. Hopefully when COVID is over, we'll be able to do that. And we're a politically neutral organization, but other community foundations have taken sometimes a more active role in specific advocacy initiatives. And impact investing. That is something like the Threshold Fund up in Whatcom, and it could be an area of growth for the future with the right investment. And here are our board of directors. We are super fortunate to have this experienced group of community leaders providing guidance and oversight to our organization. And that's it. I can open it up for questions and do the best I can.
Thank you, Maddie, for the presentation. I had one question. You had mentioned early on about the template for affordable housing projects. Do you know timeline when that might be ready?
No. I think it was like a three-page goals summary, and we were kind of developing and adding to it. Like the mission statement of the consortium is not even finalized yet, but this is one of the main priorities of a lot of members is accountability and, you know, really what is the product we're going to deliver from the consortium? What is going to be useful to housing projects in the community? So yeah, I think a lot is still up in the air.
Okay, thank you.
Patty, I apologize. I had to turn my camera off. My internet is a little shaky, but this is Debbie. I have a question. Are there any cities involved in any of your programs right now? I mean, obviously I saw somebody on the board that's from the city, but as far as, do any cities have grant programs through, you know, or investing any funds with you?
No, there's been interest of one fund from a donor, from a group to benefit Parks and Rec Foundation. And there was a donor during 2020 that made a large grant to a city. But right now, no, there are no government supported endowments or funds.
And from your experiences with foundations, are cities able to set up some sort of a program through your agency? If we had other cities within Skagit County that wanted to collaborate on a project?
I think that's, yeah, that's definitely an option. Really, the core purpose are the tax benefits. And so combining resources and the ability to invest them could be something we could look at. And I'm connected to a nationwide network of community foundations. And so I could put it out there to see if anyone has any policies or procedures that were experienced with this as well.
Thank you.
I have a quick question. So are people then just giving money to you to direct to different things that they're not sure where to go with it? What is the difference from going directly?
Yeah, so like there are different types of funds. And so if someone wants to be more hands-off, like say they left us in their will and they don't have someone in their family that they want to put the responsibility of directing grants, they can say, hey, I really care about youth education. Can the board make those grants every year? And there's an annual percentage that the board approves based on our net earnings every year. And so that amount for our permanent funds is distributed every year. But for some people, they want to be more hands-on. They want to be involved and learn about different opportunities, but they don't know where to go. Our community doesn't have a directory, you know, of nonprofits. And so if they're looking for a little bit of expertise of, I care about animals, what nonprofits in Skagit County support animal welfare? They can come to us and we can do some research and look at their history and dive into some specifics. And so it's really, it's a learning opportunity for them, and it depends how involved they really want to be.
Okay. And then what kind of percentage of that then goes back to your foundation? I would assume that there would be a percentage cut to help keep you guys running.
Yeah, so it varies. Pass-through funds that are sometimes a lot of work, they're typically 2% of an entire gift. So, and then our invested funds, we take a 1.5% administrative fee throughout the whole year, but we divide it up per quarter to pen. So if the market crashes at one point during the year and lifts back up, you know, it kind of all evens out. But also, like with the house gift, sometimes people want a tax break for their entire gift in 1 year. They had, you know, a sale of a business or something. They want the complete donation tax deductible at the time that they donate it, but they still want to make grants for 10 years down the road.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. And this is just a personal, kind of in Sarah's, leading Sarah's question, is there a minimum that an individual can set up a donor-directed fund with your organization?
Yeah, our fund minimums are $10,000.
Oh, thank you. That's very reasonable.
Yeah, there's pros and cons. Work is silent.
That could be a lot of work for $10,000, potentially.
Yeah, like Orcas Island Community Foundation, you know, they are proponents of philanthropic democracy, and they want no barriers to entry, but just, you know, with administrative capacity and bandwidth, you know, for us at this time, we've discussed raising that limit, but we're keeping it at 10,000 right now.
Thank you.
Hey, Maddie, I just had another quick question for you. Are we able to leverage that grant software that you guys have mentioned? What sort of things could be included in that if we were to try to reach a lot of the nonprofits in Cedar Woolley? Would they all have access to submit applications if there was a fund to apply for? Could you walk us through how that process might work?
Yeah, so our annual grant cycle, actually, the deadline is coming up for applications. We were just in the newspaper a week ago. Everyone who's in our grant online grant system who's ever applied to us received an email saying, hey, deadline's coming up in 3 weeks. And it's been open since November to receive applications. And so this is our traditional annual grant cycle, and we receive applications from any nonprofit that serves Skagit County for any purpose. And we make a catalog out of that and approach donors and say, hey, do any of these interest you to make a recommendation from your donor advised fund? And then we have a grant selection process through our discretionary funds. So that's kind of like our annual big deal. And we had two of those last year. But with our brand new accounting software, what our plans are for the future is that we have some funds that are available to the public, like the Friendship House designated fund. Anyone can contribute to that. Museum of Northwest Art has an endowment. Anyone can donate to that. So we want to publicize those funds that are open to the public to receive donations. So we're going to be adding to our website options to click on that of, hey, I'm curious about this. And also eventually down the road, We're in the process of hiring staff, so that's going to delay some of my goals and ideas here for a little bit while we onboard. I also want to have a nonprofit directory. There's about 952 nonprofits registered. Not all of them have a charitable focus, so we would want to focus on those. But we want to make, you know, lists accessible. I care about housing. How do I find nonprofits that support housing in our community? So that's a goal. We want to make philanthropy accessible and to get the word out about organizations that are doing really good work.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions for Maddie? If not, I think we'll talk about the next steps as we, you know, move throughout the year. But I really appreciate your presentation, Maddie. I'm new to the Skagit County area, so I'm very familiar with the Snohomish County Community Foundation. Maddie, her name was Maddie too.
Oh, Maddie Metzger.
It was quite a coincidence. So
yeah.
So you guys do great work. And if there's nothing else, we can probably end our committee meeting. Does that sound good for everyone?
Sounds all right. Good.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, Maddie. And bye. I will share these slides. These slides will be available to the public. We'll upload them to our website, and I'll share them directly with our people.
Great. Thanks. And I can follow up about whether municipalities create funds through community foundations.
Sounds good. Yeah, I mean, obviously we're able to do things like that ourselves, but I think if we end up starting to partner with other cities, to me, as a finance person, it makes more sense to collaborate under one umbrella and let them manage it. So, but we'll see where that goes.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.